Okay?
That's called the Pied Piper. The Pied Piper, which is really interesting, you start reading up on it. I'll let Mom read it. So there's a phrase that my son and I were driving in the car, and he saw a slug bug, so he punches me, and he goes, "Time to pay the piper." I look at him, I said, "Where'd you hear that?" "Uncle Guy." I was like, "Well, okay, hitting me for a slug bug's not paying a piper." Then I started telling the whole story, what paid the pipers. What I did not know, and this is based off like Wikipedia, so you can do more research, is that the story might possibly have come from the 1200. 1,200 years. We're in the 2,000 years, 2014. It's very old. So here's a story, and a lot of people believe it's actually truth. But Mom, if you could go ahead and read that, it'd be great.
In 1284, while the town of Hamelin was suffering from a rat infestation, a man dressed in pied or patchy in color clothing appeared, claiming to be a rat catcher. He promised the mayor a solution for the problem with the rats. The mayor, in turn, promised to pay him for the removal of the rats. The man accepted and played a musical pipe to lure the rats with a song into the Weser River, where all but one drowned. Despite his success, the mayor reneged on his promise and refused to pay the rat catcher the full amount of money. The man left the town angrily, but vowed to return sometime later seeking revenge. On St. Paul and St. John's Day, while the inhabitants were in church, he played his pipe yet again, dressed in green like a hunter, this time attracting the children of Hamelin. 130 boys and girls followed him out of the town, where they were lured into a cave and never seen again. Depending on the version, at most, three children remained behind. One of the children was lame and couldn't follow quickly enough. The second was deaf and followed the other children out of curiosity, and the last was blind and unable to see where he was going. These three informed the villagers of what had happened when they came out of church.
This is where we get the term, it's time to pay the piper. So what happened was, they hired somebody, an exterminator, to get rid of the rats. And then once they got rid of the rats, they decided not to pay him because he took care of the problem. Now they're not going to pay him. So sometimes, or people say, "You made your bed, it's time to sleep in it." Mm-hmm. And so there's other phrases. I believe that one of the reasons why that story possibly has lasted so long is because it's teaching the truth. Time to pay the piper. All of us have heard it. You're going to go, okay, you don't want to deal with it, but now you got to pay the piper. And in that version of the story, they eventually were forced to pay what they did not want to pay. Now, tonight's teaching is going to be Pied Piper Syndrome, PPS, which is really interesting. The Pied Piper Syndrome, be careful, you're leaning right for the camera. The Pied Piper Syndrome is what happened to the Church of Hamelin after this happened. So you can imagine, right after the church service, they come out and what happened? The kids are gone. Okay. You can imagine, here's all these people from the church that come out and all their children are gone. You can imagine them going, "Oh, Yahweh, oh God, why did you take our children? Why did you take our children? Oh God, why did you? God is in control. God is sovereign. But you, why did you take our children? You could have took anything, but why our children?" You can imagine somebody doing that. The Pied Piper Syndrome are people who are in, they're called denialists. They're in denial that they're now reaping what they've sown. So instead of saying, "We are supposed to pay this guy," they'll say, no, "God is just teaching us a lesson." Or somebody else. In that story, the Pied Piper Syndrome, what happened was is that they were refusing to deal with the reality that they are now reaping the consequences of what? Their behavior. Now, a lot of Christians today will say things with good intention. Now, my intention is not to mock. I hope that I'm not hurting anybody's feelings, but to show some truths so that we can look at things and say, this is what the church today says. But the question is it accurate? Today, here in the United States, people will often... Mom, would you close that blind for her? People will say the separation of church and state. The separations of church and state, because that's what people say. You'll say, what document is that? Who signed off on that? Did Congress sign it? Did the President of the United States sign that? Was that the Declaration of Independence? No, nobody signed that. That was a personal letter from Thomas Jefferson. It wasn't a declaration. Actually, the Declaration of Independence says that God gave us these inalienable rights. Nevertheless, is what people say today. People say a lot of other things now. Think about either. They say Mother Nature. They call nature their mother. That's blasphemous. Now, I have one mother. I have two fathers. I have my earthly father, and I have my heavenly father. But here's Christians say Mother Nature, Mother Earth. You're going to say, okay, we've got to be real careful with some of these things. Now, I don't think our intention is to be blasphemous, but sometimes we are unintentionally offensive to our father. Now, kids can do that too. I was a child once, and I said a couple things with good intentions, and my father said, that was very offensive. Don't say it again. So I learned a lesson. But tonight we're going to be talking about the Pied Piper syndrome. Galatians 6. What does Scripture say? Now, people teach now that God is in control. They say that, but then when somebody who is not a Christian says, okay, if God is in control, what about this, 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 and this? And usually what Christians will say is, well, you know what I mean. Well, wait a minute. You're going to say, partial birth abortions, is God killing these babies right now? Okay, how about some of the horrible things that happen in third world countries? Is he getting control of those things? Okay, people being tortured to death. How about Auschwitz? Was he in control of that? No, not necessarily. But you know what we mean. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of look at some scriptures to hopefully the truth will make us free, not what is the status quo, the truth, our Father's Word. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And this could either be really good news or really bad news. And probably for the majority of my somewhat young, youthful life, this was really bad news every time somebody read it. And I'll never forget the part of Liar, this was in the movie Liar, Liar, when he finally realizes that he has to tell the truth. But it says in verse 7, chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceiving yourselves, exclamation point, God, or Yahweh, is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, the same shall he reap. Okay, that's called Galatians 6. If you're doing righteousness and you're sowing good things, then guess what? I'm happy I'm going to reap what I've sown. A farmer, when he plants corn, he gets very excited for the harvest. If you plant wheat, you get very excited. If you plant wickedness, like in the movie Liar, Liar, he goes, I'm now reaping what I've sown. It was horrible. That could either be really good news or really bad news. I'm going to turn down to verse 9, which is neat, and we're going to apply this to the good things. And in doing that which is honorable, let us not be faint-hearted. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Our Father talks about sometimes when we sow plants or we do things, it might take a longer time than we expected. And sometimes when we do the right thing, it appears that nobody even noticed. And we might even ask ourselves, what's the point? But then we should look at what happened to Joseph's life. Because no matter where Joseph was through Scripture, he worked his tail off. And he knew that our Heavenly Father was watching everything he did. And he worked diligently as if Yahweh was observing everything. I got news for you guys. All of us are on a big screen right now. Joseph remembered that. And a good illustration is that when Potiphar's wife wanted to commit adultery with him, she says, come on, lie with me. He said, how can I sin against God or Yahweh, Elohim? He didn't say, I won't be able to get away with this. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. He says, no, everything I do, my Father's going to see. I will sin against Him. And so, if we remember the Scripture, when nobody's seeing, you're doing the right thing, specifically parents here, grandparents here, righteous individuals, when you're sowing and it looks like you're not reaping sometimes, you're doing the right thing, and maybe you're losing more and more friends for choosing the right things, you're going, golly, I used to be really popular. But now the more I learn the Word, I keep losing friends. At least that's what it appears. Like, no. Wait a minute. Are you sowing righteousness? Yes. Our Father says you're going to reap wonderful things. Your friends who are compromising on the Word, are they sowing righteousness? No. Not necessarily. They're going to reap, though. And what is it? What are they going to reap? Well, maybe that's not that important for us, but we know we're going to reap if we sow in faith. Now, what's neat is that we go back to the church of Hamlin crying out, oh God, why did you take the children? And here's a pastor looking at a horrible situation. And this going, how do we explain this? And I think this is what happened with churches. They're trying to explain a horrible event. One of the problems is when you're trying to talk to a big body of people is you usually don't want to tell them bad news. The Apostle Paul had a secular job. He was a tent maker. He wrote the book to the Corinthians. And he goes, you wicked people, what are you doing? He did in Galatians 2. He goes, if you add one thing to this, you're going to be accursed. Paul wrote all these things. How did he do it? Because he remembered our Father was watching. And Paul was running his race in a way in which to win. So are we. Now, a lot of good-hearted ministers and teachers, I've been one, the tendency is to tell people what they want to hear. So they say, well, we know God is sovereign. God is in control. There must be a good explanation why God took the children. And you can imagine, they're all sitting there praying. They're praying, they're praying. And all of a sudden, here comes a voice like Mount Sinai. Children, it's your Father. He's talking to us. He's going to explain why he stole our children, took our children. He's teaching us a lesson now, isn't he? I didn't take your children. Please read Galatians 6. But now that you've brought it up, children, why don't you pay your bills? Oh my, of all the nerve. Yeah, the Pied Piper, why did that happen? They refused to pay their bills. Have you ever known anybody that had their car repoed? Have you ever known about somebody who was fooling around their wife or something and she finally divorces them? How about somebody who keeps drinking and driving and eventually they get a DUI? You're going to reap what you sow. Our Father would say, you didn't pay your bills. Why didn't you pay your bills? And the whole story of the Pied Piper, and Pied means a colorful clothing, was pay your bills. And sometimes when you do things, you're going to have to reap what you sow. It's actually a very godly principle. That's one of the reasons why I believe it stayed around. In Judges, the 6th chapter, page 266, which is real neat. I heard a girl talking about a guy who was looking at pornography on his phone. And he came to her, and he's panicking, he's freaking out. And he looked at wicked things on his phone, and he's looking at these things, and now he's got a virus. And I said, isn't that just like our adversary? He's a deceiver, and then he's an accuser. Remember that, guys. Once the adversary, if you're in communion with him, if you allow him to deceive you and teach you, no, this is the way of good life, what happens? Right after you sin, guess what he does? He goes, look what you did. Now you have a computer, STD. Now you've got to go to the Best Buy and have a wipe it clean. Now you got to, this guy, he's a 70-year-old guy. He went to this girl and said, what am I going to do? She's like, you have to tell your wife sooner or later. He's like, ah! It's just like our adversary, isn't it? He's reaping what he's sown. Don't go there. There's bad stuff out there. Our Father says, flee fornication, flee fornication. But in Judges chapter 6, what's interesting about that? I've been there. I've been there where the people in the church where bad things are happening and I forgot that I'd sown, whether intentionally or unintentionally. And I was actually reaping some of the things that I'd sown. We're going to look at Gideon. Gideon is in the Hall of Fame of Endurance and Faith in Hebrews. He's one of our Father's heroes. Okay? You know, if there was a Mount Rushmore. Our Father did a Mount Rushmore in the book of Hebrews. You want to know who he would chisel their faces? Samson. Yeah. Gideon. Israel. Here are these people. There's where their faces are. And here's Gideon. But how does this start off in verse 6:12? So the messenger of Yahweh appeared unto him and said unto him, this is Gideon, Yahweh is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, wrong address. Pardon, my Lord, if Yahweh be with us, then wherefore hath all this befallen us? And where are all his wonders, which our fathers have recounted to us, saying, was it not out of Egypt that Yahweh brought us up? But now hath Yahweh abandoned us and delivered us into the land of Midian. Do you think Gideon's heart was right? Absolutely. Why do I think that? Because if it was wrong, our Father would have fixed it. He would have told us this is where he messed up. Gideon's heart was right. How do you think the angel felt when he heard him say, Yahweh abandoned you? Gideon, Yahweh abandoned you? Chapter 6, verse 1. Shana, would you read that?
And the sons of Israel did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh. So Yahweh delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years.
In verse 4, Elijah, would you read verse 4 through and 5, please?
And encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the land until thou comest into Gaza. Neither left they
sustenance.
Comest in Israel, nor sheep, nor ox, nor donkey, for they with their cattle used to come up with their tents, yea, they used to come like locusts for multitude. Both they and their cattle were without number, so they came into the land to lay it waste.
So this is what happened with the Midianites. And what happened thus was Israel greatly impoverished because of Midian. Why? Was it because Yahweh abandoned them? So Gideon thought, no. They abandoned Yahweh. And now they are reaping what they had sown. What did you guys expect? You're doing that which was wicked? And Yahweh, in other verses, it says, Yahweh says, fight for me and I'll fight for you. Yahweh, other places, I think it's 1st or 2nd Chronicles, he goes, return to me, then I'll return to you. Come on. And all throughout Scripture, Yahweh will even refer to Israel as adulterous, cheating on them, going to foreign God. Maybe it's their government. Government gives us Medicare, Social Security. That's who takes care of us. And Yahweh's going, wow. And so that would be where we are here in the United States. But anyway, you're just going, okay, cheating on us. Gideon felt like Yahweh abandoned him. Gideon might even heard this from other people. But why was Israel impoverished? Well, because they were reaping what they had sown. And what happened is Gideon was a mighty man of valor. And guess what he does? He starts cleaning shop immediately. The first thing he does is he cleans shop at his father's house, which is really neat. I mean, he was a mighty man of valor. What a great guy. But he started cleaning out. So you can imagine, here's a household, a husband and a wife that are in a marriage. And here's a wife, and she comes to a Bible study, and all of a sudden she realizes that some of these fights that are happening in their house, maybe these fights are not coincidences. And she starts thinking, going, golly, Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with the spiritual, but the adversary. She's going, have we given place to the adversary? Have we let Satan into our house? And if you let pornography or any kind of sin or vice, she's going, ah! Well, how do I get rid of this stuff? How do I get rid of HBO? How do I get rid of pornography on the internet? All these things that you've been infected with. You just say, okay, just get started. So you can imagine a wife coming home. She's going, that's it. No more cable. No more internet until we get something figured out. Why? Because this is Yahweh's house. He's watching everything we're doing. I thought about one guy. He was a guy. He was in college. He put bad pictures up all over his dorm room. He finally got his own place. He was not expecting his mom to come visit.
Oh, no.
He panicked, put all these bad pictures, and his mom showed up. It was the end of the world. Why do you do this to me, God? He was not expecting that, which is going to take us to the next, Matthew chapter 25. Everything we do is being watched. Everything we do. Elijah, tonight, it looked like you were kind of, maybe I go play outside, maybe I'll save you for a teaching. Man. You're stronger than I was when I was your age. Guess what you did? Who's watching what you're doing?
Yahweh.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to have a reward for what you're doing? Are you kidding me? You never sit around and people play a pickup basketball game or soccer and they go, okay, who's on this team? Who's on this team? And they go, okay, we'll pick Wendy, Chuck, Shauna, Jesus. No, not Jesus. Malcolm. Jesus, you're nice and all, but you don't have a very good jump shot, man. You chose Jesus Christ. He's really good. So just remember that. He remembers when you choose him. He remembers when you choose him, too. When your friends want to go do something wicked, or maybe instead of watching God's not dead. They want to go watch a wicked, they want to watch Pulp Fiction. I'm not giving money to that. Christ is watching. So is our Heavenly Father. And you're going to be rewarded. Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. That'd be page 28. And this is the parable of the good steward and the bad steward. Chapter 25 is page 28 in the Rotherham. And this is what's verse 13. How does Mashiach Yehoshua, Christ Jesus, start this whole teaching off? Verse 13. Be watching, therefore, because you know neither the day nor the hour. When? When you're in the dorm room and your mom's going to show up.
Hi, baby, I'm ready to clean clothes.
Oh, it's mom! Here's Christ talking about when the master's coming back. And Christ gives his whole parable about the good stewards and the poor steward, or the bad steward. And he gave the one 5 talents. He gave the one 3 talents. In verse 19, he gave the one 1 talent. In verse 19, it says, after a long time. Have you ever sown a seed of something you didn't see any fruit? What's the point of even doing these Bible teaching? What's the point of witnessing when everybody keeps rejecting me? You're sowing. Are you witnessing to people and they keep rejecting you? Mm-hmm. Hang in there. Galatians 6 says you're going to reap. Who's watching you? Did they reject you for Jesus Christ's sake? He was right in front of you. Did they make fun of you because you choose righteousness? Yeah, they did. It stinks, doesn't it? Only when you forget who's in the room. Hey, Dad! Did you see that? Took one right for that team. You saw that, right? Yeah, I got it right there. I'm glad you saw it because I know you will reward it. I'll take another one. I'll take one right in the eye. I'm not forgetting you're in the room. When Christ got nailed onto that cross 2,000 years ago, on tonight as our Passover lamb, who was in the room?
His Father.
Our Heavenly Father, His Father, who says, my Son in whom I am well pleased, hear Him on the Mount of Transfiguration. When he got received Holy Spirit on his baptism, he goes, behold, my one and only Son, my only begotten Son. His Father was in the room. Christ remembered His Father was there. When Christ was 40 days tempted, who was in the room? When the adversary was trying to get him to commit adultery? Father. I sat there and there's a guy who was sitting with, and he and his wife, and there's a salesman. They're sitting at a dinner table. And there's like a sales pitch, and the salesman was not a righteous person, but he's trying to sell something, and the husband and the wife are sitting there, and the guy starts talking about buying some like timeshares or something like that. I don't remember exactly what the story was, and the husband goes, "My wife and I we don't spend any money without sleeping on it. Nothing over $1,000 without sleeping on it. We discuss it, and we don't do it in front of any salesman." Salesman's like, yeah. Anyways, this thing. And then the salesman starts looking across the table as if to ignore the wife. And he starts going right to the husband because he's the one that's in charge. That's what it appears. And he starts throwing down we can do this right now. We could do this. And the husband's being really polite. He's listening to this guy talk to him across the table in front of his wife. And that husband says, you know what? I appreciate that. We're running out of time here. But like I told you, I don't make any decisions without my wife. She's right here. We don't sleep on it. And the salesman kept pushing and pushing again to find the husband. Goes, I'm going to punch you in the nose. My wife is right here. You are wanting me to do something and abandon her right in front of her? And the salesman goes, oh my goodness, I didn't know I pushed it so far. And he goes, this deal's over. You can leave now. And the salesman leaves. And the guy that was sitting there goes, we'll buy our own dinner. And the wife looks and she goes, thank you. Thank you for choosing me. And the husband goes, why didn't I just do that? Why did I let it go so long? The wife was like, it doesn't matter. I was there. I was watching the whole thing. Christ is in the room when you choose Him. Christ is in the room when you choose against Him. Even when you don't think He's there. Our Father's in the room. And I've been there. We choose, no, I'd rather have this person. I've had people sit down there at the table. Jesus Christ and my Heavenly Father's at the same table. They're invisible. And then there's even I had a girl that was wanting me to date her. All right, I'm lonely. I'd like a wife. And then all of a sudden, she started proposing things that I know are absolutely black and white. Don't do it! And I'm sitting there going, man, I kind of am lonely. They're right in the room. How could I do that in front of you guys? You got to go. Got to kick you to the curb. I'm not kicking them to the curb. That's the same thing. Remember, they're in the room. And you can imagine that salesman, him walking off. And even if that salesman was wicked, maybe the salesman wasn't wicked. Maybe the salesman just forgot about respect. And I think a lot of times Christians forget about respect too. But think about that salesman. As he walked off, he goes, golly, maybe I should stick up for my wife like that. And the husband actually did that. He did a teaching on it. And guess what he did? He said, I did the right thing, but what I realized is I don't do that for Jesus Christ. Because Christ is in the room too. And he goes, sometimes I need to be standing up for Jesus Christ, even when my wife doesn't think this. And you know what? My wife should stand up for Jesus Christ when I don't think righteousness. Somebody's got to stick up for it. And we look at Galatians 6 and say, that which you sow, you will reap. What's neat about the good steward and the poor steward, the good stewards, the guy that got 5 talents, guess what they did? They doubled Christ, the master's money. The guy that got 3 talents, doubled that money. Got 3 talents. And what's really neat, and we get down to verse 24. But he also, who the one talent had received, coming forward said, Lord, I know thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not winnowed. And overcome with fear, I went away and hid thy talent in the ground. See, thou hast what is thine. And his Lord answering and said unto him, God is in control. I'm sure he has a really good explanation for all this. You didn't really have a choice about where you buried that talent. But God's in control and he works in mysterious ways. That's what the parable said, right? No, that's not what the parable said. The parable said, O wicked servant and cowardly, knowest thou that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not winnowed? Why? In this parable, Jesus Christ said, because of this guy's behavior, he said this guy was wicked. How could you just call somebody wicked like that? Because in Luke 6:43, it says, you know a tree by its fruit. How many Christians, when their behavior has not produced the fruit that they know they should have done, what do? They blame Yahweh. God. He's teaching us lessons. God's judgment. Hey, I got news for you. This is something that's really great with my dad's teaching on Telios Ministries. In the Bible, anytime Yahweh is going to judge a nation, guess what he does? He warns them. So the righteous can get out. Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot got to get out. Nineveh is going to be destroyed. What happened? He sent Jonah. Jonah didn't necessarily want to go. Jonah had to walk 400 miles to save one of the most wicked nations in the world, Nineveh. He warned them, and guess what they did? They turned. With Noah, the righteous got removed. So it is not God trying to teach us something. If 9/11 would have been Yahweh trying to teach us something, he would have warned. Billy Graham would have been, Yahweh's getting ready to judge you. Clean yourself up, New York, but he didn't. But there are wickedness. Sometimes we're reaping just what we have sown. Let's see here. What's real interesting is that if we can remember history, which it appears that Gideon forgot the history, we would know that... We would remember that Adolf Hitler, remember him? Real bad guy. Did you know he was elected into power? Elected into office? Yeah, they don't teach that, do they? So now we're going to do a little quiz here. See if you can pick it, Elijah. Pick A, B, or C. 3 answers here. Adolf Hitler was voted into office by A, France, B, Great Britain in Parliament, C, 30% of German citizens. Germany voted for Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was one of the most wicked people ever. What happened was, God's in control? Wait a minute. Adolf Hitler got voted into power. Was Germany reaping what they had sown? Yeah, they did. And guess what happened? Because of what they sown, that 30% is approximately 30% of their population, the rest of the world had to clean up their mess. A very wicked person. So, okay, what happened there? Reaping and sowing. There's a neat thing about, there's a woman who was raising her daughter. She calls her father up and said, I have a problem. I really like your counsel. Her dad says, call me back by 8 o'clock, I'm busy right now. So dad separates himself. The daughter calls her father up, and he goes, okay, what's going on? She goes, well, you know Samantha. Yes, I know my grandmother, or my granddaughter. Well, she's a senior this year. Yeah. She's got prom coming up. She's already paid for her prom dress. She saved up enough money for the limousine. She paid for her hair to be done and her nails be done. And the guy she's going with, she's probably going to marry. Father's sitting there going, get to the point. What's the question? Why did you call me? She goes, well, the problem is we have a family rule that if you don't have at least C's in your core classes, you can't do any extracurricular activity. So what should I do? The father, what do you mean, what should you do? What kind of problem is this? What do you mean, what do you do? And the mom goes, you don't understand. She's already paid for the prom dress. She paid for the limo. And the grandfather goes, wait a minute, did she pay for this before she got all of her grades? Well, she thought she had C's. But it turns out that she still got 2 D's. The father goes, you don't have a problem. The mom thought she had a real big problem. The mom was sitting there and goes, what was she looking at? She was looking at the short term. The mom was looking at, if she doesn't go to prom, I lose my affection. The father says, and so the father, which was neat, she went to her father, and this is where my parents come in too, it's great. The father says, what you're going through is very common and natural. It's one of the most difficult things. That's why Yahweh said, he that spares a rod of correction hates or destroys his child. She goes, Dad, why do you say that? He goes, because that's not what you feel. When you discipline your child, how does that feel? She goes, it feels horrible. He goes, I know, I had to discipline you. It felt horrible. He goes, I couldn't sleep at night. Sometimes I had to spank you. I don't want to spank you. She goes, you didn't? I thought you liked it, Dad. Of course, every kid thinks that their kids, their parents have it in for them. So poisoning, right? But the father says, your problem is you're thinking the short term, not the long term. The daughter says, I don't understand what you're saying. He goes, go get your Bible. So he goes and gets her Bible. She goes and gets her Bible. He goes, turn to 1 Corinthians 3. Everybody can turn to 1 Corinthians 3. She has this big dilemma. It's so neat because our Father's words is the truth will make you free. And here the mom, in her own imagination, in her own brain, she was in a bad spot. It's her daughter's senior year. They're going to get married. She'll never forgive me. Now they won't get married if they don't go to prom. All these things. Maybe, here's the mom thinking, if she doesn't go to prom with him, maybe he'll go to prom with somebody else. Then here goes her brain. She's going crazy. Anybody that's a parent here, you got to control your thoughts. But the father says, turn to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Elijah, would you read 12 through 14?
Okay. But if anyone is building upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work shall be made manifest, for the day will make it plain, because my fire is it to be revealed. And each one's work of what sort it is, the fire itself will prove if anyone's work shall abide, which shall be built, a reward shall he receive if anyone's work shall be burnt up.
He shall suffer loss, but shall himself be saved. Though thus as through fire. Christ and our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, are teaching. They're saying, look, one day all the stuff that you build in this life is going to go through like a fire. The things that you build in gold and silver, they'll last through the fire. You get to keep them. The things in straw and stubble, they're going to be burnt up. So the Father says, daughter, I know you're in a tight spot. I've been there before. I don't envy you. He goes, but it's not the end of the world, even though it feels like the end of the world. He goes, the question is this. Here's your real question. She goes, what? He goes, let me simplify it. He goes, what fruit are you planning on presenting before Christ Jesus when you go before him? She goes, what are you talking about? He goes, well, Matthew 25 says that we don't know when he's coming back. It could be in the next 5 minutes. We don't know when Christ is coming back, do we? No. Do you want to show Jesus Christ the prom dress? She didn't get D's. She's reaping what she has sown. And you think by letting her go to prom, you can avoid her learning this lesson or reaping what you sown? Or do you want to show? You want to present something to your father that you did the right thing for your daughter? And Jesus Christ is going to look and he goes, what do you want to present to Jesus Christ? You want to think about the short term or the long term? And the wife or the daughter is like, golly. He goes, do you think a prom dress is going to last? No, that thing's going to be gone. What will last? Doing the right thing. And so will the same thing do for you. If you remember, we don't know when Christ is coming back. The wicked steward had all these excuses. And you know what? I've been that guy. I've used our father's money and I've wasted it. I've blown it. I've acted like he's not in the room. I've done bad things and ignored. He's right in the room. I love that one saying, you did that in front of God and everybody. Ah! Yeah, he's in the room. You're going to say you're going to present your whole life before him. And if you focus on what you're going to present before him, specifically with your kids and with relationships and standing for righteousness and do like what that man did when he chose his wife over a salesman, those things are going to last. And guess what Christ is going to say? He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You're going to get reward for those things. And you too are going to reap if you faint not. But you're going to faint if you don't remember how to think long term. Run your race in a way in which to win. It says that Christ endured the death of the cross. Tonight's the anniversary when he died. How did he do that, guys? How did he do that? He hung on the cross from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.? Hung on it? Why? Why did he hang on there? To fulfill the law before he died. How did he do that, guys? He was thinking about what rewards the glory that was set before him. You can do the same thing and reap great rewards if you faint not. How are you going to not faint? You're going to do the same thing Christ did. Imagine yourself going before him on your knees. What about when you spanked your kids for righteousness' sake? Will you have a reward for that? Yeah! Is your kid going to remember it? No! How about when you picked up trash off the parking lot and nobody saw you do it? Are you going to have a reward for that? Yeah! How about the time you decided to sneak into Pulp Fiction instead of going to another movie? No reward for that one. That's okay. So if we start thinking about where do you want your rewards, guess what's going to happen? That where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. So I want to thank you guys for tuning in and watching. There'll be another teaching next Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the Sodders Fellowship at www.teleosministries. There's a plethora of information. You could not exhaust these resources probably in 5 years. There's so much stuff in there. I'd encourage you to search the scriptures, look things up, and I really encourage any kind of questions. If there's something that you've never heard of, if it sounds weird, if it sounds blasphemous, if it hurts you, it'd be great to contact. And maybe in an area I'm wrong, and you're here to serve me, so contact us. My email is onfireforchrist. So I'd like to thank you for tuning in, and I'll go ahead and give you a prophecy before we sign up. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you asked your son to do. We know that a father would rather die for everybody than ask his son to die. But the truth of the matter is, what kind of love does it take for a father to ask his perfect son to endure the death of the cross, to be beaten worse than anybody who has ever been in existence? A father to ask it. Abraham asked Isaac to lay down his life in hope of a resurrection, and Isaac was a type of Christ. Anybody who's a parent will have a very difficult time imagining asking your kid to die for somebody else. Now, we might not understand it, we don't have to, but we can understand that it is more beautiful than any love than we've ever seen. And for Yahweh so loved the world, he gave his only begotten, it says begotten in the scriptures. He died for us. And 1 Corinthians 5:10, so we can live for him. We just thank you, Father, for the best present that anybody has ever given to us. We thank you, Christ, that as we celebrate the Passover, there's a blood moon. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. There's a blood moon this week, on the week of Passover. We just thank for all these things. Let us remind us of what's happening, that we live this life because Christ died for us. Now we can live for Him. And one day, when we stick up for Him, we know we'll be just like Joseph. Joseph had such great rewards. And we're so thankful that Joseph fainted not. We thank You for the wonderful words we're about ready to hear. Be of great courage. Do not be distracted. Know that I have many miracles that are in your very fingertips. I have more resources than you could ever know. All you need to understand is who you know. If you know who I am, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and you know that you can speak to me through my Son, Christ Jesus, then you know that you are tapped into the biggest database, the biggest power in the whole entire universe. That equips you to go anywhere, to do anything. You don't need knowledge. You don't need fame. You don't need wealth. You don't need the right family. You don't need to come from the right anything. All you need is me. And as long as you have me, and you are in my light and in my love, you can encounter and move mountains, and you can conquer and subdue the land for the generations after you. Thank You, Father, for these words. Amen.